So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. Is buy-to-let still worth it? So I've been in buy-to-let now for, it's at least 25 years, maybe 26 years, something like that. And, you know, we bought our first house, 40 grand, they were the days. I moved into it. It was a little three-bed house in Hyde Park in Leeds. I moved into that, moved my three mates into it. I converted the lounge into a bedroom. I lived in that one. And then the other three bedrooms I rented out. Awesome times, happy, happy times. Gate crashing, loads of parties in Studentville in Leeds. I was only 26. Wonderful, wonderful times. And then we quickly bought a lot more property. Realised that this is where the money was going to be. And also kind of didn't really like pensions. And thought that pensions weren't for me. Now, what's really interesting now is that 26 years on, 27 years, I don't know how long it is, a quarter of a century later, that sounds a bit more impressive, doesn't it? Quarter of a century later, would I do the same again? And the answer is no, I wouldn't do the same again. I would do it differently. And obviously, benefit of hindsight is wonderful. I would have put more money into a pension for sure. I remember working at Dell. And, you know, you got shares and every, or a pension, I think it was shares when you worked there. And every 1% you put in, they would cover that with another 1% all the way up to 6%. So you'd end up with 12% of your salary. And I sold those. Stupid. Why did I sell those? Why did I not just put them into an ISA? I would have them now paying dividends. Would I put everything into property and everything into buy to let? And no, I wouldn't. I absolutely wouldn't. I'd be moving stuff around because why have all your eggs in one basket? But having said all that, buy-to-let has been incredibly good for us. When we were going through some incredibly tough times 12 years ago, family court, I mean, just some horrific times through the family court process, you know, I just didn't work. We just relied on the income coming in from buy-to-let. And thank God, quite frankly, in fact, it's longer than 12 years, probably 14 years, 60, I don't know, 14 years. So buy-to-let has been incredibly good for us. And don't get me wrong, I'm very happy with what we've done, but I just would change a few things and I would be buying more stocks and shares, put them into, you know, a cash, into an ISA, not a cash ISA, into an ISA and living off some of those dividends. I also would have paid down debt a lot quicker. I would have paid off credit cards a lot quicker, loans a lot quicker, and so on and so forth. And then obviously, the big one is Section 24. Nobody knew that Section 24 was coming. And it's what we class as a retroactive tax. So the decisions I made back in 1996 and 97, 98, 99 and year 2000, those decisions that I made, you know, 22 years ago now, are affecting my taxation level today, right? And it's ridiculous. And so we should have paid those down a lot more. We probably would have owned less property. But we would have had more property paid off. That's really what we should have done. And obviously, if I was going into buy to let now, and when I don't think, you know, I can't see us buying more property. In fact, we're offloading some to pay down debt. So even if interest rates go to 50%, we're fine. That's really where we want to be. And so actually, we're paying down debt. Now, it might be that our cash flow monthly takes us to a point where we're like, okay, let's just buy some more for cash. Maybe, right? We don't know what the future is going to hold. Times are hard for everybody right now. Like, our rent's going to go up 50% in the next 10 or 15 years? I reckon we're not far off it, to be honest with you. We've still got a huge amount of inflation to come. So the question of, is buy-to-let still worth it? It's like, you know, it depends where we are in the cycle. If you'd have asked me 20 years ago, absolutely. If you ask me now, if you're just getting into buy-to-let, I'd say probably not worth it today. But you don't get into buy-to-let in order to secure your today, you know, cash flow. You get into buy-to-let to secure your future cash flow, like in 10, 15, 20 years. And that's what we've done. You know, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago, we got into buy-to-let to secure today's cash flow. Excuse me. And that's what we've done largely. You know, we've had hiccups along the way like everybody else. Interest rate rises doubling over the last couple of months has obviously hit us as well as everybody else. But our gearing isn't so bad anymore that it makes everything undoable. In fact, we're okay, thankfully. Now, we're not on standard variable. So we are on standard variable. We're not on fixed rates or anything like that. So we got hit with it. But obviously our rents then have increased to match that. So we're still in the same situation that we were in a couple of years ago, effectively. So our cash flow is fine. So is buy-to-let still worth it? I have to say that if you're going to go into buy-to-let, then yes, it's worth it, but with a caveat, okay? And the caveat is this. Like, I live in Spain, so I'm 1,000 miles away. If I lived in Leeds right now, I would probably be converting some of my buy-to-lets over to luxury Airbnb-type accommodation. That's probably what I would do because there's a lot of potential cash flow. Even though there's a lot of competition in Airbnb-type stuff, there's a lot of potential cash flow there. But I don't. I live in Spain. It's just yet another thing to manage. It's not for me, right? So you've got to be really clear on what your strategy is going to be. Is it HMOs with all the legislation that's coming through? Is it two-bed back-to-back houses with all the licensing that's now come through? And all the, you know, your banister's not quite the right height, so you have to move it up an inch or move it down an inch, which is stupid. It's not the right height for who? I'm 5'7". What if someone's 6'5"? What if someone's 4'11"? Like, who says what the right height is? So there's all these rules and regulations coming in. I think for sure, when I was buying a lot more property going back 10 years, my level of conscious awareness in purchasing property was almost nil, right? I would just see a house. I'd be like, yeah, we'll buy it. I'd go look at another house. I'd walk in, look around, man about town, thinking it was all that, you know, and we'd just buy it. And now I would be a lot more cerebral in how we actually think about what other houses we're going to buy. What are we going to do with them once we've bought them? Now, we've already got a lot of property anyway, but I don't want to be doing, HMOs. I don't really want to be doing, what's it called? Airbnb style serviced accommodation. Going back 12 years ago when we owned the letting agency, if you type serviced accommodation leads or short-term lets leads, we owned the first page of Google. My letting agency was up at the top for several pages, and we had several websites as well, which ranked very highly. So we really owned that page. We did very well, but I don't live in the UK anymore. So the caveat is, yes, I would still go into buy-to-let, but you have to be more cerebral, more thought-aware, consciously aware about what are you going to do? What's the process? But I would also, I wouldn't have quit my job as early as I did. I was on 100 grand at Dell. You know, this is what, I'm 50 now and I left when I was 30. This is 20 years ago for a 30-year-old to be earning 100 grand a year. And bear in mind, right, I was too young for that job. Like, the stress levels, my peers were my age now. They were 45 and 50. The stress level was too high. If I got that job again, I'd be fucking amazing at that job. It'd be so much better. But I wasn't. I was just a young kid, thought I knew it all. I still think I know it all. And it was a lot, lot harder. And so I left that job. But 100 grand a year, like, you know, what was I thinking? I'm like, oh, it's not enough. I can do better on my own, you know? It's crazy the confidence that you have in your 30s or just be turning 30. The naivety that you have. So I would have stayed in that job a lot longer. I would have also moved a lot more money over to stocks and shares and ISAs and pension funds. I would also not have spent as much money going out with the lads every week, 3 or 4 nights a week. I definitely wouldn't have done that. So this is the maturity coming out, folks, at 50. It's taken a long time for me to get to that point. But if you're about to go into buy-to-let, is it going to be worth it for you? Yes, it is, but you have to be cerebral about it. And if you do that and you don't get into too much debt and you handle the repayments of the mortgage properly and you're consciously aware and you run stress testing up to 10% interest rates, like, if you're checking that and it still works, you're going to be in a good position. Put down a bigger deposit or less to the banks. You know, if your mortgage is a 5%, people are putting money into stocks and shares, into Amazon, and getting a 3% dividend. Like, you know, McDonald's 2% dividend. And that's what people are living off. Paying down mortgage debt at 5% is a really good idea right now because you're saving 5%. You can't even offset the damn thing if it's in your own name. Obviously, you can if it's in a business. But anyway, yes is the answer, but there's a few caveats that I've talked about. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.